This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Always want to throw this out there. We're going to have Jordan Lewis a little bit later, but we've got those interview subjects on the hot seat brought to you by the on-time experts. On-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. Right now, filling that spot. Also brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you guys.
Now, do you immediately want to jump into Cowboys stuff, or do you want to discuss the revelations we had off air that Olympian swimmer after diver after diver all say that they pee in the pools that they swim and dive into?
That's good to hear.
That surprised me, and it looks like it's rocked Corey to his very Corey.
I appreciate that line. It's just Mickey's a higher class person to talk around these kinds of things around my Kevin, and so that's where I'm just like, I'm a little embarrassed.
Is he though? He's a Southsider.
Well, okay.
So get down in the mud.
So here's the question: have you ever done it?
Sure, I'm sure I have.
The ocean and a lake, but not a pool.
Not in a pool.
That's what I agree. I agree.
And even still, it feels like when you're in the ocean, you're like, still kind of feels wrong. But you know, might as well.
So I brought this up, and I hope this is not a family etiquette violation. Our little nieces, they're 7 and 5, and my in-laws have a lake house, and there's been times that instead of going up back to the house, they've been like, I need to use
just
the
run into the pool.
Yeah, they
lake.
Just put them back in the lake, and I was like, yeah. That is so strange.
It's lake water, man.
It's lake water.
Yeah. Okay,
I mean, if the fish can go in there, why can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And from my understanding, the ocean around here, the bacteria is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So a little bit of pee is probably not going to hurt.
Okay. So one more Olympic-based question for you. As long
I think
as
that's making
it.
Masterpiece of the Week this week, Mickey.
Yeah, let's go ahead and mark that off. Mickey, do you ever listen to Masterpiece of the Week? It's at 1:30 on Friday, and it's where we take out of context things that people have said all week. And people have been really interested in the fact that you seem to have leaned into this over the last 2 years and really upped your game.
So saying things that... somewhat inappropriate?
Yeah.
On accident.
They're like, okay.
But casually.
But yeah. They're okay in the context of it's a football discussion. But if you just cut out all of the buildup, then you're like, whoa.
You've won five or six times.
You mean like skinny ass safety?
Something along those lines. Also for our Olympic segment, which one do you like better? Don't gold your breath or the gold and the beautiful?
Or don't meddle in my business.
Yes.
I like that one.
Okay. All right. Got a lot of different feedback on this. All right. Now I guess we probably
Let's talk overdue to
get into football. I heard something from Mike Tomlin a couple of days ago where he talked about the evolution of training camp and how he loves every stage of football. But today is another stage with you get to put the pads on. I realize because of the collective bargaining agreement, it's not the way people used to remember, but... do you view this as like another big step in training camp?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're going to play football today.
Yeah.
Now, let me qualify that because they're not going to tackle.
Sure.
But at least from an offensive line standpoint, we can kind of judge what you're doing when you're not playing flag football If offensive linemen can't use their pads, if they can't get physical, you can't judge where they're at, right? And I think that's why we see a diminishing athletic quality of offensive line play, because I think you can't develop these guys in the off season because you can't put pads on, can't barely put a helmet on.
Yeah.
And then you get to training camp and the first four practices are flag football. So, and then when you get, you know, I mean, they used to have two-a-days. And it was two-a-days with pads on.
That feels like 100 years ago.
Right? And you had an opportunity to take a, you know, undrafted free agent and develop him over a couple years. But that's hard to do now because you can't be physical out there for the majority of standpoint. And that's what's wrong with the alternative leagues. You know, you might have some skill guys in that, in those leagues, but you don't have enough offensive linemen to go around in the NFL, yeah, let alone those leagues. So, and then if you look at what college is doing, everything's basically, they don't even put their hand on the ground because they're going to pass
they
block.
They spread out and move everything around.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, running the football becomes difficult sometimes.
I am kind of along that line. It almost seems unfair to Tyler Guyton to be like, all right, rookie, like, here you go. You're the left tackle protecting a $40, $50 million, maybe $70 million quarterback.
No, 60,
yeah.
Not 70.
Well, it could be. So we don't know the numbers. But, like, but this, how quickly does a guy like Tyler Guyton have to get on the page and going?
Right now. You know, they went through the first, I want to say, two practices, and in deference to veteran guys, they let the veteran be the first teamer, Chuma Adoga. By, when was it, Saturday, when they had the mock game, he was the first team left tackle. Sunday, when they actually went team, he was the first team left tackle. So I would imagine when the pads come on today, it's his job to lose. They need him. If you look at what the alternatives are,
yeah,
you would kind of arch your eyebrows and go, so to me, he's one of the guys that has to step up and be a player. I mentioned in my column on Monday two guys that have to do that. He
Mozzie
was one of them,
yep,
and Mozzie.
Yep. I read that. It was a good column.
And,
check it out.
And
people,
they desperately need those guys because the alternative is not great. So we'll see what, you know, so far so good with Guyton. He looks like he knows what he's doing. I think he's quick off the ball. And my God, he's 6'8".
Yeah.
You know,
he's a giant.
So his wingspan's pretty good if somebody's going to try to go around him as long as he continues to move his feet. Now we'll see with the pads on, because to me, and I learned this from Nate Newton, you've got to be able to move your feet. And if you can't move your feet as an offensive lineman, especially the left tackle, you're going to have problems.
You get pushed over. Yeah, you got to reestablish your power.
How you talked about, like, if it's not Guyton, maybe your options behind are not preferable. The center position, it feels different in terms of you have two fairly desirable options. What have you seen early on, and what do you think will make the difference between Hoffman and Beebe?
Yeah, I think it'll be how quickly Beebe masters the art of snapping the football.
Okay.
You know, he, you look at him and you go, and I forgot who said it. Maybe it was McCarthy. Somebody said, when you looked at him right away, he's a center, like his body type, right?
Yeah, I see that.
I think it was McCarthy said it. And he is. And if you watch him play, he's got the mentality of a center. Now it's a matter of, can he master snapping the ball? The ball cannot be on the ground. And I'm talking under center and shotgun. And so we'll see. They've kind of so slow played that one. He's still with the second team. And as McCarthy pointed out before we ever got here about Brock Hoffman, it's like, hey, this is going to be a competition. He's not going to just concede. This is a guy, you know, the old line, he's going to bring his lunch pail to work every day. Is that a good one?
Oh, no, that is a good one. I was just pointing to Corey because we've had this conversation. We also heard that perhaps he brings his mouth to work every day and is good at
talks a lot.
Yeah. He's good at agitating
folks.
He's
the trash talker we've heard.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Maybe that'll incite Mozzie, right?
Yeah.
I want to, because I saw Mozzie getting a little skirmish at the end of, I think it was the mock game practice.
Yes,
right?
I saw that too.
And I was going, yeah. He's got blood in his veins,
yeah,
right?
He does.
I wanted to see some emotion, right?
Yeah.
Let's go.
That. Now, the. I was reading a little bit up on Micah, and Micah's approach this year seems to be a little more leadership style. I want to be a better leader at that. What have you seen from him before, and do you see anything different right now?
He's saying it. Now we'll see.
Mm.
If you remember last year, his favorite line is, "We got to see what guys will do when we go in the deep end,"
mm-hmm.
right? So this year, he showed a little of that when he was talking about Mozzie. When he did his interview, someone asked him, what do you think Mozzie can be? He goes, it's not what he can be, it's what he has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talked later on about how I'm on him. I'm going to make sure his conditioning, he's doing this, he's doing that. Well, if that's the case, then good. Because at times, you kind of think, Mike is an independent player out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
an
independent contractor.
Yes.
I'm taking care of myself, right? He talks a good teammate deal, but sometimes when you're not there the whole off season, you know, it's like, well, what kind of leadership is that?
Yeah.
So we'll see. And we'll also see how he adapts to the amount of times they're going to ask him to play linebacker.
Which looks like a lot so far.
Because I see where Mike Zimmer said with Sam Williams, he said, I figured he's playing 75% of the snaps this year at defensive end. Well, last year he played 28%.
Wow.
So to me, he's saying he's a starter. Well, if he's going to be primarily a starter, it's him and DeMarcus Lawrence. And that injury is devastating to this team and the depth at defensive end, because they had big plans for him.
Does that then throw, I guess, Neyland into that same category of your column?
And it's going to have them scouring free agency to see if there's some veteran out there who will not play for an arm and a leg and bring a guy in. And I saw a couple names,
Ngakoue,
like Carl Lawson, Ngakoue. But both of those guys have been dealing with injuries,
sure.
And they're coming back. The last thing you want to do is bring in a 29-year-old veteran, 7, 8, 9 years in the league, who's going to be a progress stopper, by the way, and then the guy gets hurt on you. So, you know, the fact that, you know, they couldn't afford to bring back Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler really hurt. And so they were saying, hey, Sam, you're the man.
Yeah.
We got to have it. And they really like what they'd been seeing from him. The guy's got all the talent in the world. And you know, they didn't ask him at Ole Miss to play the run much. So that was something that he needed to develop when he got here. But as a pass rusher, he had some unique skills. I was talking to Greg Ellis about him, and Greg was just and, you know, this is his first year coaching here, first year being around Sam, and he just felt like he could teach him some technique stuff to make him a really good pass rusher. So, yeah, they're going to have to overcome that loss, and it'll be interesting if they can see if they, you know, bring somebody else in.
As far as receivers,
uh-huh.
you have one that you're like, I want to see that guy win this spot, or because we were talking about, was the line, Kevin, from Steven about Jalen Tolbert, was he made a leap, and the leap was 268 yards and 2 touchdowns, which was looked more like a rookie year,
and he lined up onside,
which is a good
Hell
thing too.
Yeah.
I am kind of curious as we get into pads and see a little more of this physical competition, who you think might stand out?
Yeah, I think you know, so far so good with that. Jalen Brooks is another guy that kind of shined in the offseason. I don't know had as good of first four practices as he's had in the offseason. I've got a guy, and this guy, Tyron Billy Johnson.
Okay.
And that's hyphenated.
I keep hearing
so
that name.
So Billy's one of his last names, okay? He keeps making plays. And another guy that caught my eye, and you know, I almost didn't realize he was here last year, was Racy McMrath, 6'2", wide receiver. He was at LSU when they had all those receivers.
Right.
So he just kind of faded into the background.
They became receiver U, yeah.
Right. And he made a catch the other day on the sideline. He went way up. And he's got some athletic ability, but he's never been more than basically a practice squad guy. So there's some guys that if you're looking for five, there's going to be some competition, I think, for four and five going along. And then, you know, we talk about number three, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if one or two get hurt?
Absolutely.
Can number three be a two or a one?
Yeah.
And I think that's the big question right now on the depth at wide receiver.
Kevin, his last name is McMath. All right? Like that, you have to.
Yeah, I support that.
Yeah, you're huge. And
I mean, you want to say McGrath, right?
Yes. Yes.
It's McMath. Racy McMath. You got to love
that. It's a great name.
It's awesome.
That is, man.
And it also kind of thinks you, makes you think that math's a little taboo.
And I think I read he got the name Racy nickname when he was being born. He was in a hurry to come out. So they called him.
Okay.
They called him Racy.
Okay. I like it.
Like this kid doesn't want to stay in here any longer.
And we might talk about this more later, but the ability to go up high to get passes has got to be good when Trey Lance is throwing the ball, right?
Hey, he's a little high.
Hey. He is a little high, isn't he?
Those have been a little.
Oh, you know,
little
I'm not wrong.
They've been
a little
there.
High throwing the football at yeah. times when it's not a a premeditated route play. When he's got to improvise and throw on the run, he seems to his ball seems to sail on him a little bit. But again, that's why he's here to play football, and he hasn't played football. And they need to see just how well he can compete. You can sit there and do all the technique stuff you want, but at some point you got to play football and you got to cut the ball loose.
Yes. Yeah,
and I think he has a tendency to maybe look too much.
Hold it.
Just
hold
let it go.
Yeah, I agree.
And
with
I've seen young quarterbacks around here that didn't make it because of that.
Excellent stuff, as always. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
I'll be here.
All right, there you go. Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan. And at his suggestion, the Olympic segment coming up next for the day will revert back to Don't Meddle in My Business. We'll do it next, live from Oxnard and Cowboys training camp on 105.3 The Fan.
Great look inside, and Wilson finishes through the contact.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Oxnard for Dallas Cowboys training camp, and I hope you're keeping up with us in the social media realm as well. We got those confessional videos brought to you by Best Buy Windows and Siding. But right now, it's time for some more Olympic talk. Now, Mickey suggested that he enjoyed Don't
Meddle in My Business.
Thank you. We've had too many names because some other people have said, what about those meddling kids?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a whole.
That's from Scooby-Doo.
Real?
Mm-hmm. And I would have done it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
So we've got a whole bunch of options, but I do want to dive into the Olympics itself. And you know what? Actually, I guess that is a good place to stop. To start, the men's triathlon got postponed yesterday due to the pollution levels in the river.
You said the pollution river?
Yes. I mean, I said pollution, but pollution is probably right.
Okay.
The levels of bacteria were too high. And so, I mean, and look, Corey showed us the videos of people diving into poo.
Mm.
Both the men's and women's races got postponed. They're probably going to get postponed even further, and they have contingency days that were built in, probably just as a matter of planning, but it looks like they're going to come in handy because the river is so gross and so polluted. Here's what makes that even crazier. Paris authorities had promised to make the river swimmable as a key legacy of the games. How much money do you think they spent on that?
Legitimately or said they spent?
Ooh, I only have the number that they said, so.
To do that.
$150,000.
$3 million.
$1.51 billion was spent on wastewater infrastructure to contain sewage and minimize spillage into the waterway for this river.
And they still couldn't get the spill done?
And you've seen divers go into dirty water, and now you've seen competitions delayed. $1.51 billion.
I guess the lesson we're learning here is do everything in a pool instead, you know, because the ocean water's not safe, bro. You got sharks, orcas, and now you have bacteria and doo-doo. Like, that's just not going to be helpful. Don't go in the ocean is what we're learning.
It is true.
And maybe all of our sewer systems that just run off into the ocean, maybe we got a little bit of a problem there.
That big of a body of water has that much stuff in it that's bad.
Yeah.
Gross, bro.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for years, though, you know? This is so.
I don't think so.
Well.
Wait, what do you think we've not been doing for years? Rivering? Or getting
swimming
rid of pollution?
In that stuff.
Oh, okay.
No, what I'm saying we've been doing for years is pouring it out of our sewage systems into the ocean.
Oh, I thought you meant pooping.
Well, that too. Yeah, we've been doing that for years.
Yeah. So,
who do we
Reggie.
Blame, PETA?
Yes, I do. Reggie, what do you have to say this morning about Coco Gauff? She argued with the umpire. She lost in her tennis match. What am I to make of all of this? She cried.
Yeah, she did cry. She was very overcome with emotion after in her match there was a incorrectly called ball, but then because she played it, then it went against her, and then I think that this comes in a long string of things outside of the Olympics playing at Roland Garros. She believes that when she plays at that place, she does not get fair treatment. And so that took her to an emotional place, and it seems like
that
those
came
emotions
up in the
got
match
there.
With Iger, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there is that. And I mean, I do wonder if that also falls in line with, I know Serena has kind of complained about not having, you know, fair treatment in certain places. We've seen her argue with chair umpires. And so, yeah, clearly the emotions got the best of her in that way. But I'd be interested to go back and, like, kind of look at her history at the French Open. And, of course, that's where they're playing now, the Olympics. If there's something there, if there's, like, maybe something that tracks there. Because clearly it got under her skin to the point where she lost her match.
Now, is all the focus today on – do you feel like all the focus today is on the gymnastics? And, I mean, let's say Simone Biles, but we could just say gymnastics in general. Do you feel like that is the primary focus of a lot of folks today when it comes to Olympic stuff?
What time is that happening at?
I think it gets started during our show.
Is how much of it is just the timing of your life schedule that is what's important to you?
Sure,
but they do seem to put those significant ones in prime time for you to watch.
I think,
you know,
the team finals are starting like right now.
Yeah, how many people do you think are, especially with like the particular time difference of it being in France? I know that certain times when the Olympics were in China, it really threw us off in a big way.
Yeah.
How many people do you think are watching live versus in prime time when they kind of take delay things?
You know what? It's tough because I'm going to tell you, Reggie, I want to say that people are watching live more and more because of the proliferation of streaming, but we talked about the opening ceremonies was the most streamed since 2012, and then, although I guess this was live, the men's basketball opener against Serbia drew 10.9 million viewers, which is more than the gold medal game of the last Olympics. Now, I realize the Tokyo Olympics, which got delayed, that ended up having a lot of different viewership figures because of everything that was going on at the time, but it's tough to give you a straight answer because all my logic wants to say proliferation of streaming means you can watch it now. But then when you see some of these numbers that have come in for the tape delay primetime coverage, they're pretty freaking huge.
Yeah, I'm watching archery right now. So.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, archery.
Yeah, when you ask, like, how many people are watching gymnastics, I'm like, I'm not the person to ask because I'm a little bit of a contrarian. I'm not all that interested in swimming at this point. I've realized I'm not super interested in gymnastics. Of course, I'll check in on what Simone's doing and such, and Suni Lee and those fine women from the USA. But for the most part, I'm like, what are the other sports that like aren't getting a lot of love that have interesting quirks? And right
okay.
now, archery is one of those for me.
Let's talk about water polo then.
Yes. Yes.
Terrifying.
It is terrifying. I don't know, Mike, if you have been in on any of the water polo, but outside of the fact that it's physical because you have to swim so you know stay afloat, but also other players, their level of defense is actively like dunking you under the water. This is a terrifyingly physical sport.
Yeah, but I've talked to Brian Ray. He did this in college.
Really?
Yeah.
Should I get him on the phone? Should I call him now?
A little bit, yeah.
He does say if you know what you're doing, if you're taught right, kind of this swirling motions with your legs, it's not as hard as you think. But obviously it is for us. But if you're a good swimmer and then you know how to do kind of the different circle motions with your legs, that it's not as difficult as you think. It is taxing. Don't get me wrong. It's like saying soccer is not difficult when somebody's sprinting down the field. And you're like, well, they're not sprinting the whole time, because sometimes soccer people will exaggerate. Everybody exaggerates. Like, they're just running the whole time. I'm like, no, they're not. But you sprint 40 yards down a soccer field to chase down a ball, make a move. Yeah, it gets taken away or something happens. You still have to kind of jog back slowly to you know, midfield or so. Like, they're in constant motion. And then a soccer player would tell you it's not that big of a deal because they're used to it. It's what they do for a living. And so I think that when you talk to Brian Ray, he makes it sound a lot easier than it is to most human beings.
Here are the things that concern me. And I think you get used to it after some time. And that is somebody's defending you, and they're not defending you where they can't, like, touch you. They will put their hands on your shoulder and push you down. And, like, that's where I would probably say my mind is, like, You probably get used to it after a while, knowing when to start holding your breath, how long you're probably going to be under, how long they can hold you under.
Coming but to terms with your eventual death. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it does feel like there's probably some panic that initially goes on when you get into it. The other thing, too, though, is I'm amazed at times when I'm like, that was a wide open throw. Why didn't they just throw it up into the corner?
Yeah.
And they'll pass it off, and they're sitting there passing off trying to find that perfect shot, and they do. And, Kevin, I watched – I don't know if it's a penalty throw.
I saw that.
That penalty throw at the end.
She got stuffed.
She got stuffed. The girl just, like, leapt. The goalie just leapt and swam at her and made herself real big. And then, yeah, the American had a free shot at the goal, and still just skipped it off the water into the arms of the person.
Now, Reggie, if you're wanting to talk about maybe the less than marquee sports. I know this is a big sport across the world, but the United States women's rugby team has advanced to the semifinals for the first time in Olympic history. Are you watching women's rugby as we go along in the Olympics?
A lot more than I realized that I would be, but it has been it has been exciting. One of the things that I do enjoy about rugby is, like, just like football, when you have that, like, breakaway run, you get a good amount of that. At least I have in the rugby sevens this Olympics. So, yeah, man, that's been fun, is seeing just, like, the one juke, and now we're in open space, and here we go, right? And so that's fun. I also learned about cheek-to-cheek tackling. And one of those cheeks is on your face, and one of those is on the lower half of your body.
Oh, dear.
That is the textbook tackle in rugby, is cheek-to-cheek tackling, which is fun.
Oh, so you tackle, you put your cheek on their butt? Is the way you're...
And because
then,
you want to get
low. But
then
low. There's no drop, right? You don't drop. How are you trying to pull them down?
You're trying to go to ground with the person that you're tackling. That is the textbook tackle. And so they call it cheek-to-cheek tackling, which has been phenomenal for me. I found that to be hilarious. And today you learned.
I know women's gymnastics usually gets more of the attention. For the United States men's gymnastics team, they won a bronze medal, ending a 16-year medal drought in this category.
Finally.
One of the medalists... Plano's own Asher Hong is part of this team. They won a bronze medal in the team competition, just the third time in the last 40 years that they've medaled in this.
All right, so maybe shoot for gold next time.
I can't name one men's gymnastic person in my life.
I hope you can, since I just told you one.
Yeah, Asher the guy Hong. From Plano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Asher Hong.
Yeah. But, no, what I'm saying is, like, Mary Lou Retton. Like, the, you know, you go back in history, and I'm sorry I'm forgetting their names right now.
Dominique
Carrie Strug.
Yeah, there's, like, we probably could name eventually.
Kim Zmeskal.
But we never are able to name, even the men on in other countries, right?
Like you're right about that. Women's gymnastics has a significantly higher profile than men's, not just in the United States, but just in terms of like overall coverage, way, way higher. Now, Mike, I got a couple of names for you.
Tell me.
When's the last time you thought about Chase Budinger and Jimmer Fredette?
BYU. And I can't even remember where.
Arizona.
Dude, I feel like Mike has brought up Jimmer Fredette multiple times during the Mavs playoff run. I don't know why.
This is the Olympics for you because Chase Budinger won his Olympic beach volleyball debut yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I remember that he was going to do this.
Yes. And then did you know that Jimmer Fredette is on the U.S. men's 3-on-3 basketball squad?
So, no clue.
I just wanted
to... Why aren't NBA guys doing the 3-on-3 stuff?
Okay, here is the roster of four people. Canyon Barry, Jimmer Fredette, Kareem Maddox, Dylan Travis.
Don't know.
So...
What happened? I'm throwing out names here. Why can't Jaden Hardy and Jaylen PJ Brown. Washington, like, why can't, yeah, why can't
just
the guys...
Just want some Mavs to fill the team, yeah.
Did you have to qualify a year or two ago to do this? Like, I don't know how it works.
They actually recruited the team, and they put it together a little while ago, so I do think that maybe that factors in. I don't know why we don't have NBA players, because we do have a couple of WNBA players, or maybe one, because I do think De'Erica Hamby is the WNBA player on the women's side. But yeah, it's kind of a different style of game also.
Send
kind of
like the flag football versus regular football is the thought I had.
Yeah, but I don't even know that it varies that much now that Mike mentions it. We absolutely should be able to have some. Maybe there's a rule. Maybe I'm going to do some Google.
Tell Halliburton and Tatum. They're not doing anything for the U.S. team. Tell them to go over there and play for
that. How amazing would that be?
Go hit the 3-on-3 courts, Tatum.
Yeah. That would be crazy if they were like, your attention, please. Today, replacing Jimmer Fredette is Jason Tatum.
Did you just send Chuck Morgan to the Olympics?
Yes.
Is that what you just
said?
That's where he deserves to be, Reggie.
That's what I want to hear. I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, there's your Olympic update for the day. Obviously, a lot of people paying attention
to women's gymnastics. When I hear sports announcements, I hear Chuck Morgan.
I do. And I also just think that's a great way to let people know that something important is about to be said. Your attention, please. And I'm
hold on.
I guess I should probably pay attention.
Need to listen.
Coming up next, we are live from Oxnard, and it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where NFL players love Deron Bland. Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Second and 10 at the Dallas 43. Howell's back, throws it.
Oh, look out.
Picked off! It's Bland! It's Bland! He's got one man to beat at the 20. He cuts left. He breaks the tackle at the 10. He did it again!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're live from Cowboys Training Camp in Oxnard. Thank you very much. Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and those sweet, sweet Guardian caps for making it happen. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deep.
And we start with... Apparently, John Gruden still has one more shot before going to the U.S. Supreme Court. He has filed another consideration for his case with the Nevada Supreme Court. Remember, it's not the case will go forward, but he wants it to be in a public setting as opposed to in private mediation. I bet he does, because then I believe the NFL will fold in a heartbeat because they're like, hold on. All this crap's going to be out there for the public? No. What's the amount of money you're looking for? We're in a settling mood. Last time they were in court, didn't go so well.
You, when you said Gruden has another shot, I was like, hold on, a team is going to hire him?
Yeah.
He's done in the NFL, right?
I think that is correct.
Like, that's like even his other relationships with the NFL. And that's not because just because of the NFL, Kevin. I think he's hurt by it all, too. Like, I mean...
I'm sure.
Some of the stuff that, like, it was... he was very disconnected from reality. But yeah, man, like, he's hurt by it, too. So he's... My initial thought was, oh, my God, what team?
What
team would do that?
I agree with you that he's just hurt by it in general, but I also think this is, like, you know, kind of Lance Armstrong syndrome, I guess. is it's hard to admit that you did something wrong when you're like, but all these other people are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and both of those things can be right. You can be like, yes, but you still did something wrong, but you're right that other people are doing it. And so I'm sure that's tough right there. Did you see that the fever is at a high? Don't think I said that sentence right. For the Atlanta Falcons, who have sold out season tickets for the first time in almost 20 years.
Wow. The Cowboys consistently do it.
They did, man. They got a righty and a lefty.
Yeah, I still... Is that the most intriguing quarterback situation? Because you're like, how the hell is this going to work? I'm not saying it's going to be the best or anything.
Here's my question. Who did they buy tickets to go see?
Penix, right?
Pitts.
Or Bijan.
Kyle Pitts.
Oh, yeah.
And Bijan gets the ball like 12 times a game. Well,
Bijan's going to get like 20 times a game.
I think they're going to change that, but, you know.
That's a good question, though. I mean, because I'm not buying tickets to see Kirk.
Did they buy tickets finally to see the combination of Tony Gonzalez and Jerry Rice in one player?
That hasn't worked out just quite yet.
Has it fully culminated with the quarterback arms of not Joe Montana?
That's very true. Let's go to the NFL Top 100, where I have to admit I was happy but stunned at the turn of events yesterday. Here is the top 40, and we'll go down to the top 31. Just think about these names that you're going to hear. Davante Adams is 40.
Whoa.
Then Joe Burrow, Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, Tua. Then we get to 35, Josh Hines Allen. Remember, he just changed it. That was Josh Allen, the defensive player. Jordan Love, Puka Nacua, Quincy Williams, and coming in at number 31 on the list, Deron Bland.
That's right.
Look.
Wow. You said he could never do it.
I did say that.
I heard that.
You're right. I thought he was capable of it. I did not think the players were going to vote him. Once we got to the top 40, I was like, I do not think the players are putting him up there. They said, guess what, Kevin? In your face, did you see how many pick sixes he had and how many interceptions he had? Deron Bland is number 31 on the list. Only the second Cowboys player to appear on this list.
Dude, when you're the second leading receiver in touchdowns on your team as a cornerback, then you deserve
that.
That
still feels bad, right? I actually got to go back and look and confirm.
There was at one point it was the case, but I got to go back and confirm that it stayed that way last year.
But yeah, Mike, what do you think about not only Deron Bland being on the list, but his placement on the list, and then also, I guess, being ahead of players like Joe Burrow, Davante Adams? That's some pretty high company right there.
Yeah, here's my question for this. If he is this high, as in like this is what he really is, isn't Mike Zimmer kind of going to try to change the way that he plays the position?
I could see that.
So would you as an agent and a player go, no, like I'm going to get paid $20 million a year if I keep taking these risks?
I mean, you might be right about that. And I think one of the things like that Trayvon Diggs in the small sample size we saw last year was it seemed like he had really stepped up his overall coverage game. I mean, Deron Bland has been progressing really fast. So if he continues to up his overall coverage game and is still a ball hawk, holy moly.
And my next football question. When Broadus came into the tent, did he kick me off of Zoom?
Our Zoom died.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no clue what happened.
I'm not sure what happened there either. Because usually I'm used to my internet giving me some problems, but this time it said the host ended the meeting. And so they were
Thanks a lot, host.
You know what? Uber One has stepped in, and they're like, hold on just a minute. We need to make some changes.
He'll cue us whenever it's back.
I'm sure we will come back to the Zoom in just a minute. But yeah. Number 31 for Deron Bland. Would your guess then be?
We got seven more in front of him.
That's a lucky number for the Cowboys. Roy Williams.
Oh, well. So CD, Micah, and Dak are all going to be in the top 30.
Yeah. Yeah. And
what was that noise, Mike? Do you not think Dak's going to be in the top 30?
He'll definitely be in the top 30.
Okay.
In fact, top 10.
It's interesting, too, because most receivers in the league look at Davante Adams as one of their top receivers still, and he's at number 40. So that's intriguing to me. So,
Would the Packers vote Dak in the top 10? Like, if he didn't play that playoff game, I don't know if they make it to the next round.
That is an interesting point. But so would your guess be three more then? And then so no Tyler Smith, no Trayvon Diggs, and it's just Micah, CeeDee, and Dak.
No Zach Martin.
Zach Martin was on the list.
Oh, yeah, he was high. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's right.
We'll go with that.
All right.
Until Tyler Smith starts getting the respect he deserves.
Diggs can make it back on the list. I think injury just took him off the list.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. All right. I know yesterday... last year was a big missed opportunity for Lamar Jackson, but I want to get y'all's take on this quote from Lamar Jackson, because I don't know if the Ravens can get it done, but I loved this quote from Lamar. He said, "This is the highest level of the game we play. You got to go out a champion, and that's what I want to be labeled, as a champion. Not just an MVP here and there. I want to be a champion." I realize he's saying the right things, but I also really love that attitude. I don't know if they'll get it, but I appreciate that attitude from Lamar
Jackson. Wanting to be a champion?
And him saying, "I didn't come to this league to be like, oh, hey, you want an MVP here and there." He's like, "I'm just here to be a champ."
Yeah, everybody wants that, man. It solidifies their legacy. It puts them in a different category. You go into the Hall of Fame as an individual player without the ring, that's Dan Marino. You know, there are going to be a lot of receivers that make their way into that place. Davante Adams could be one of those guys that makes his way into the Hall of Fame, never hoist that trophy. That's what they want. That's the ultimate team vibe. Like, that's why you're with those guys. So I see what he's saying there.
Now, on the flip side, Mike, if you had to guess right now, I hope I'm wrong because I really like Lamar Jackson. Do you kind of feel like last year was probably his best shot to get that title?
Maybe, but I do think he has a lot of years left. I think he has six to possibly
like high level years.
Yeah, that's the tough thing about him is when he loses his speed and athleticism, he probably will be done because he is a unique quarterback. He is not the most accurate. He isn't a guy that just picks apart defenses with his reads and everything. Can he develop into that? I would say at this point, no. He's good at it, not great at it. So he will not have a career where at 35 years old, at least I don't think, he'll be running around playing quarterback. I just don't think that his way of playing will allow him to have that long of a career. So I'd say, yeah, he still has about 5 or 6 years, I would think, of accomplishing the goal.
Now, I realize most everyone is going to take it for granted that Caleb Williams is going to be the starter for the Bears, but I want to take you to cut number 8 and Tyson Bagent for the Chicago Bears. Does this change your entire philosophy of this quarterback competition?
I didn't really think too much about it. I was too busy grinding my absolute face off in the offseason. But whatever they were going to do, you know, that's completely up to them. I can't control that. But, I was just excited to come back. Whoever was going to be in the QB room was going to be
stop it right there. Now,
he grinded his face off?
I feel like the first 7 seconds are really impactful when he said he's grinding his absolute face off.
I think you need your face to play quarterback, right?
That's never been not proven.
What?
It's a fact.
I didn't understand it either.
Okay, but does that change your entire idea of that competition?
No, not at all.
But he's grinding his absolute face off.
I understand he's grinding his face off, but they took this dude number one overall, Kevin. They're not going to be like, you know what? The face grinder. Yeah, that guy, he deserves it.
And then one more thing for you real quick. Did you see that John Elway said his biggest regret was passing on drafting Josh Allen in 2018? He said he's been playing golf with him, and he's like, man.
I love this guy.
I don't understand why I didn't draft Josh Allen.
Me either.
Help
man.
Me out here. That was 2018?
18. I think he took Bradley Chubb, right?
It's a good player, man. That is a good player.
In your face.
I mean, you know, he had a hard time staying healthy in Denver. They traded him to Miami, I want to say.
They did?
Yeah. So he was like, that's one of my biggest football regrets.
So it was Baker, then Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Then it was Saquon Barkley, then Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah. But I thought you were going in quarterback. Denzel Ward, Chubb, Quentin Nelson. who's all everything. And then Josh Allen.
Oh, Josh Allen went a little bit later than I thought. I thought he went like fifth. Okay.
Well, I mean, you had Case Keenum at the time. You couldn't really draft a quarterback, you know?
Yeah, that's a guy right there.
The
coming
good news
up-
is that John Elway's ran that franchise into the ground the last 5 years.
And Lamar Jackson went 32nd.
Whoops, couple of mistakes in that draft. Coming up next, it is MLB trade deadline day. What will the Rangers do? What should they do? And let's discuss the stress involved with it all. Next, right here on The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.